Hello, and thank you for listening to the Hope Relentless Marriage Podcast, where we talk about all things marriage. We're honored to spend some time with you, and well done on investing in your relationship. It matters. Our goal is to encourage and equip you in your incredible adventure of marriage, whether you're in a low place or a high place. This is for us, those courageous enough to believe we can actually change the world, one marriage at a time, starting with our own. Please connect with us on our website, hoperelentless.com. And remember, there is always, always hope. Hello, and welcome to the Hope Relentless Marriage Podcast. Chad and Sarah Gale here, and thank you so much for joining us. We are so excited for today's topic, and I want you to know that as you listen and apply the things we're talking about, you're changing the world, because marriages impact families, families impact communities, and communities impact the world. So well done.
That's right, world changers. It is so good to be with you today. And today we are talking about intimacy. And so this is such an important topic in our relationships. And before we dive in, because today we're actually going to be specifically talking about sexual intimacy. And at Hope Relentless, we recognize that intimacy, which in many ways means closeness, is much more than just sexual intimacy. In fact, recently in a previous podcast, we talked about emotional intimacy. So feel free to check out that podcast. It's titled Heart to Heart, Cultivating Emotional Connection in Your Marriage. But today we are talking about, and actually, babe, today and for the next three podcasts,
wow,
we will be talking about sex. And all the fellas said amen, amen.
Yes. And some of the ladies said amen, amen also, because hearing from you ladies, and you guys are wanting sex just as much, even more than the fellas. So we never know what we're going to get out of this, what's going to happen, who's going to really lean in. But I'm going to encourage you all to lean in. And we hope you listen to this podcast with your significant other in general, but especially for these focuses in these next three podcasts on sex. We want you to be listening together and engaging in the content and having those discussions. And so sex is such an important topic to discuss because it's such a pivotal part of marriage. And oftentimes there's not a lot of support on the topic. It's like, where do you find safe spaces to discuss and learn about sex? I mean, many areas that we naturally look, like some of our churches, for example, are not having the conversation. And so what are we supposed to do as adults? You know, are we supposed to go to the internet, to the Google?
Uh-oh.
No, let's not do that. I think we will be traumatized. You know, I actually did that once. I looked up something that wasn't what I thought. I thought it wasn't going to be sexual, but then I typed it in, and what I saw, I was like, oh my gosh. And remember, Chad, I came to you because I felt so just defiled. I was like, this is what yeah, came up.
You need better filters on your search, but yeah.
I think since we put those in, you know, and also we have teenage boys, and so you got to be smart about these things. But anyways, do not go to the Google. And so this is why we are bringing the conversation into the light. It's not going to be all expansive because we do not know everything there is to know, but we definitely want to talk about a few things here. And we just want to encourage you and hope that you can grow in this area. And like Chad said, today and for the next two podcasts, we will be talking about this important topic. Today, we're going to focus more specifically on the areas that impact our sexual experience in our marriages. And then also we'll focus on that next podcast. But then for the third podcast, we're going to address some common focuses and questions that come up when we're counseling couples and discussing sexual intimacy.
Yeah. And so I want to kind of kick off the conversation around context. You know, I'm a logistics, a detailed, an operations guy. And in certain areas, for me to understand, I need to know, where am I and where am I going? Mm. You know, like on a road trip, if you know where you're at, you can get the proper directions for where you're going. But if you don't know where you are and you don't know where you're going, then the conversation or the road trip can just be awkward. It can be confusing. And so we're going to talk about where we are and big picture, where we're going. And that'll kind of create the context. And so I think the first thing, when we talk about sexual intimacy in our marriage, we almost need to take a step back and ask ourselves, what do I believe about sex? What is the purpose of sex? And when we start to understand that and take a personal inventory, we can increase our awareness and understanding for what we believe. Really, our beliefs play a key role in driving our actions. Mm. And so one of those things is, what do you believe about sex? Where did you learn that? You know, I think about, for me, you think about kind of this idea of sex gets introduced to you somewhere in like middle school, high school, as you're a young teenager and barely know how the world works, yet you're kind of exposed to these ideas from friends, maybe from a sex ed class where they scare you with pictures of these STDs / shows and movies, maybe older siblings or cousins. And so this early dynamic of immaturity in our life where we're learning and growing, for many of us, actually is what shaped our initial beliefs on sex. And potentially as we've gotten older, we may or may not have ever revisited kind of those foundational beliefs. And so before we, you know, kind of dive in, I want to encourage people to think about, what do you believe about sex and where did that come from? Or what was the authority that painted that picture of your belief? Is sex just about pleasure? Is sex something that is just about lust or for yourself? What are some of these key beliefs? And so for Sarah Gale and I, as Christians, we believe that God created us. And so we believe that God created sex. We believe that God created marriage. We believe that God wants us to enjoy sex, but also within the boundaries of the committed relationship of our marriage. And so these beliefs start to shape kind of the context in which we enjoy and experience sex. And so that's an example of how our beliefs kind of shape the actions that we take. And so one of those other things in terms of the boundaries or that dynamic is sex within a Christian context allows for exploration because it's within a committed relationship.
Yeah.
And so these are some of the dynamics, how our beliefs have shaped where we go around and the conversations we have about sex. Our culture can over-sexualize almost everything, but not necessarily provide a lot of clarity or counsel or wisdom in the practical how-dos of a relationship. And so for us, before we kind of jump into some of those and talking about sex, it's taking a step back. What do you believe about sex? Where did you get that belief? And then really, is it serving you? Like, or do you look back and go, oh, wow, you know, maybe I'm still operating off a 13, a 14-year-old understanding, and maybe I just don't want to do that anymore. And I'm going to update and really take better inventory of what I think about this. And so that's kind of, I think, important, is that context of what shaped where you currently are.
Yeah, that's great. That's I like how you outlined that, Chad, and kind of created that framework for us. So I think an interesting thought is, when you think about sex, are you excited? You know, are you hopeful, or are you burdened and are you down? Because I think there's an amazing, incredible opportunity to experience God's best in this area for what he has, for his design with marriage and sex. And, you know, God is a good God. And so every good and perfect gift comes from him, and sex is one of those things. And so we're going to talk throughout this podcast in the next couple of weeks about some real issues that do impact how you experience sex in your marriage. But in general, when it comes to what Chad was describing for our marriage as a Christian marriage, there's a lot of opportunity to experience joy and excitement and love and adventure in our sexual relationship. And so that's something we don't always hear because of how convoluted it has become, but there's an opportunity for that still, no matter where you're at in your current life. And so one of the things I want to point out is that, you know, if we believe God created sex, just like Chad said, and so it follows that sex would honor him. You know, some people would even say that sex is considered worship to God. And so if it's worship to God, it means it honors him, which kind of helps us have some parameters. If it's honoring to God, then it follows it's honoring to our spouse. And so we get a lot of couples, like Chad said, that come through and we have different discussions regarding this area. And it comes up, you know, what I'm going to go into comes up as far as what we do sexually and what should we be doing and what should they be doing and all this stuff. And so one thing I want to point out is when our spouse feels pressured to do things that they don't want to do in order to please us, it's not honoring.
And yeah, that's good.
When we expect our spouse to fulfill our wildest fantasies and we feel entitled to those fantasies and that fulfillment, that's not honoring. We call it what it is. It's selfish. We want what we want. And so as we are clear with that, we can understand, okay, yeah, that is not, whoa, gosh, my mic. That is not a stance of honor. And so one of the things that we could think about when we think of honor is being on the same page. Are we on the same page as one another? And are we serving one another? We talked about this on a previous podcast, and you know, serving is often overlooked and I think underrated. Jesus's example, as he walked the earth, his example was service, even though he was like everyone wanted to serve him. His example was no, you know, this is what I do, follow me, I serve. And it's a mentality and way of life. And I believe it can be applied in our sexual relationships as well. So the question is, what would it look like if your focus was to serve your spouse sexually? I feel like some of us just have a mind blown there. It's like, what? You know, but what would it look like if that's what your focus was? And I think it's amazing what fulfillment and pleasure can occur in both the husband and wife as we stop worrying about what we want in ourselves, and we focus on our spouse and just develop a mentality of service and honor.
Yeah, that's so good. I think for us, this comes, you know, just to continue to kind of clarify, it comes down to our beliefs, right? Mm-hmm. And so our beliefs of serving and honor come as a direct result of believing that God created sex and God created marriage. And so these things together create an environment of serving and honoring. And I think this is where it's important to look back at culture and identify, well, what are the messages from culture? And culture can have all sorts of different perspectives on all sorts of different topics. But as we look at some of the cultural influence around sex and how that might impact the way we experience sex in our marriages, I think of, from our perspective, within a Christian marriage, sex serves, it's about serving, it's about pleasure, and it's in the context of a committed relationship. And I think this is where culture can create these, potentially I'll call them shadow missions, mm-hmm. and it highlights a part of something, but takes it out of context. And I think what we see is culture does a good job highlighting the pleasure part of sex, but it potentially removes at times the serving and the committed relationship. Yeah. And so then it opens up all this other like playgrounds that maybe there's pleasure in the short term, but what is the cost or the impact in the long term? And so what breaks our hearts sometimes is marriages come to Hope Relentless for counseling and they're looking for guidance. And really they're trying to recover from this allure of pleasure. And so they're wanting to like spice up the intimacy in their marriage, and culture has promoted different options to do this. And sometimes that is pornography. And so a couple starts watching pornography, or in other situations, it's this idea of an open marriage or swingers or quote unquote mutual consent to invite other parties into the marriage bed, into the sexual dynamic of their relationship. And I think if we call this what it is, it's highlighting the pleasure, the self-serving pleasure as the primary focus. And it's ignoring the serving and the commitment. And so when we work with couples, and I don't know, maybe they're out there, but we've worked with a lot of couples who've made that short-term decision and then are coming for help because of the long-term negative impact. Yeah. And so this is one of those things for you and I, this shapes our belief. mm-hmm. that some of these different things that cultural says might add value are actually a distraction or a negative. You know, introducing pornography without even going into some of the different dynamics of how pornography is created and yeah. and how close that can be to human trafficking and wow. all of these other dynamics, just the impact that it has in the marriage is it creates comparison. It can create insecurity. Mm-hmm. It can create selfishness, and it turns more into lust than it does mm-hmm. into serving and exploring together. Mm-hmm. And so we just want to call that out of being aware that sometimes culture is isolating one area and over promoting that while ignoring other parts. And so this is where, you know, once again, our beliefs play a key role in helping to shape the context. Because what we want to do in the future episodes is talk about how to talk about, how to communicate with your spouse around this topic, but yeah. creating these beliefs and this this context is kind of an important part. And part of that is recognizing how culture impacts us and being diligent to take inventory mm-hmm. and to be decisive in some of these areas and what we're going to allow and what we're going to say, you know, a hard no, a hard pass on, or at least recognize what is it that God has invited us to and not kind of muddy the waters with what is appropriate and what is not.
Yeah, that's so good, Chad. Gosh, you hit on so many things. And, you know, I think what I've experienced with a lot of couples that come in or they seek our help that are dealing with alternative lifestyles, including pornography, all of that, is usually there's one of the spouses is kind of the driving force behind this. And it's like, they're wanting to spice things up. It feels boring. They're wanting something more. You know, and so I think it's something to think about as far as our mentality, like our beliefs, like what Chad is saying, because what is it really about? Is it about connecting and growing in intimacy with that person that you committed to? Or is it solely about pleasure and getting your fix? Because that's really going to determine what you allow into your marriage and what you protect your marriage against. And it's very sad because sometimes, you know, they'll both agree like, yeah, let's go down this road. And the idea is that, you know, for some couples, they want to make sure that they're pleasing each other and that it's adventurous in this area of their relationship. And so if you think about it, they're really doing it because they want to be closer to each other. They want to experience joy in this area, but the very thing they choose to do pulls them further and further apart. And yeah. so when it's all said and done, oftentimes the marriage just is not intact anymore, or we're going through this long journey of recovering what has been lost. And I'm reminded of this verse in scripture that says, to the hungry, even what is bitter tastes sweet. And yeah. I think it describes this whole concept because, you know, we have legitimate needs and wants, but oftentimes we fill those in illegitimate ways and we reap the fruit. We suffer the consequence from trying to do things in our own way rather than in a way that is honoring to our spouse. If you're a Christian, honoring to God. So I just wanted to comment on that as that was top of mind. But one of the additional things when it comes to the influence of culture, and Chad, I want to ask you, because I feel like we've been saying culture a lot. When you say culture, What are you thinking of? What are you defining culture as?
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, I think culture is like a broad term that can mean everything or nothing. So that's a good question. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think of the music we listen to, the shows that we watch, kind of pop culture, just kind of mainstream media in some capacities, but it can also be our peer group. You know, if you're a teenager, that might look like one set of things, whereas when you're an adult, that could be different. But I would say, you know, when I think about culture, I think about the group or the media or the entertainment that is influencing your thoughts and your ideas and your actions. Like, okay. What are those? Are those for us? Are those aligned with what God has in store for us? Or are those different? Or in extreme cases, are they competing and promoting totally different values potentially than what God has for us? And so mm-hmm. when I say being aware of culture and its impact is really, it starts with taking an inventory. What am I exposing myself to in these key areas? You know, I think music, a lot of people love music, shows, the type of stuff that we're streaming, and the entertainment that we're exposing ourselves to. Those are some of the things that I think of when I'm using this word culture.
Okay. So yeah, that's what I'm thinking of as well. I just wanted to kind of clarify it for those listening. So when it comes to cultural influences, and I'm thinking more movies and even music, I suppose, but more so movies, the things we see with our eyes, that we consume with our eyes, I think that can set us up with a lot of frustration, depending on what we're watching, the shows that we're watching. Because when we're watching shows about romance and, you know, we're seeing people say the perfect line in the perfect tone, they look the perfect way, it creates this scenario, this idea that passion, romance, all of it is so scripted and so beautiful, you know, where real life does not happen that way. And it's interesting because we know this. Anyone who's been alive, living life in a relationship knows that relationships can be all over the place. You know, like when you are married, you're having sex, there might be bad breath, you know, everything. It might be awkward at times. All of those things are real life scenarios that we don't see often in the movies that we're watching, or especially in the movies that we really grab hold of in our mind's eye, that we're kind of fantasizing about. They become a part of, oh, this is what I wish that I had. And so it creates a discontent oftentimes. So it's just something to be aware of, because I think that sometimes we think that our brain is not as brilliant as it is. You know, when we see things, we store that. And so at some point that manifests itself in some way or form. And so, and I do it too. I'm guilty of it, where it's like, you know, I'm going to out myself here. I love Bridgerton. But I can't help, Chad, being like, when are we going to go to a ball? And why don't you have an accent?
Yeah. Two strikes.
I don't, I tried to get you to watch it with me, but you're like, no, like, no yeah. way. But anyways. Bridgerton is an example, you know, like, is it bad to watch a show like Bridgerton? You know, I don't know, but is it destructive to watch a show like Bridgerton and start to fantasize and think on it like so often we do, and then let it seep into our heart and mind and impact our relationships? Yes, because we aren't able to compartmentalize in a way that maybe we think. It all impacts us. So That's something I just really wanted to emphasize. And then just to really think about other, like, the things we're listening to as well, because everything that we're consuming will have an impact. And so it's just recognizing, wow, let me be aware and let me put some things in place and possibly some boundaries in place so that I can protect myself, so that I can enjoy the relationship that I am in and not be looking to unrealistic examples of relationships I hear about or that I see, you know, in social media or television.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. And so I think as a couple, some action steps is first, take personal inventory of what has shaped your beliefs about sex. What is the standard? What is the authority that kind of sets the target? And then after you've taken that personal inventory, potentially start to have some conversations and share with your spouse. You know, for the next couple weeks, the next couple podcasts, we're going to continue to highlight some other dynamics that play a part in sexual intimacy. And so come back, listen to those with your spouse and continue on this journey with us. It's an important topic, and we know this is a significant part in satisfaction in marriage. It's not everything, but it is a very important and key piece to the whole marriage puzzle. And so we want to do this area well, and we want to be in agreement and on the same page. And realistically, we want to enjoy the elements of pleasure that sex provides without jeopardizing the commitment and the long-term health of our marriage. And we don't believe that we have to choose one or the other, that God has actually given us a plan moving forward to serve, to enjoy and to kind of expand the relationship, both in the short term and the long term, in a way that is meaningful for both of us. So excited to continue this conversation.
All right. Well, it's that time. Appreciation time. Appreciation time. Chad David, I appreciate that you are actually, gosh, we're recording this, so you're going to be able to refer to this. I'll say it though, because it's appreciation. You're actually pretty funny. I know that I say, you know, I'm the funny one and you're not really funny, but you have very clever timing. And so I appreciate that you lighten the mood with humor at times.
Thanks, babe. I appreciate your appreciation. And so I am love languages, and I feel like you are intentional with encouraging and using your words to bring life, both to me, but also to the boys, and really just any space that you go into. You are diligent in using your words to celebrate and elevate the people around you. And obviously, I personally appreciate that because you consistently do that with me as well. So thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Well, again, thank you so much for tuning in to listen, and look out for the next couple podcasts. Like we said, we're going to be talking about sex. Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you and me. I was supposed to do that at the beginning and I forgot. And so I for sure made sure that I was doing it at the end, because that was the highlight of the whole conversation for me. Joking, but kind of seriously. Okay, so want you to remember, regardless of where you're at in your marriage, because this is a topic that can be sensitive, very sensitive to many of us. And so we recognize that. And so regardless of where you're at, you know, if you're enjoying the sex in your marriage, if you are not enjoying it, if it's in just a low place, a high place, regardless of where you are at in general, I want you to know that there is always, always hope.